The next morning, as we rode through the square, we passed Bartholomew, the village idiot, who looked no worse or less filthy for the years gone by, and who seemed to have come to some sort of understanding with his doggy friends. Instead of jumping all over him as they always had, now they sat quietly before him in a group, as if listening to a sermon.
"Where have you been?" Bart called to us.
"In the east."
"Why did you go there?"
"We were looking for the divine spark," Joshua said, "but we didn't know that when we left."
"Where are you going?"
"To Judea, to find John the Baptist."
"He should be easier to find than the spark. Can I come?"
"Sure," I said. "Bring your things."
"I don't have any things."
"Then bring your stench."
"That will follow on its own,"
Bartholomew said. And thus we became three. Chapter 24. I finally finished reading these stories by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These guys make the whole thing seem like an accident. Like 5,000 people just showed up on a hill one morning. If that was the case, getting them all there was the miracle, let alone feeding them. We busted our asses to organize sermons like that, and sometimes we even had to put Joshua in a boat and float him offshore while he preached, just to keep him from getting mobbed. That boy was a security nightmare. And that's not all. There were two sides to Joshua, his preaching side and his private side. The guy who stood there railing at the Pharisees was not the same guy who would sit around poking untouchables in the arm because it cracked him up. He planned the sermons. He calculated the parables, although he may have been the only one in our group that understood any of them. What I'm saying is that these guys, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they got some of it right, the big stuff, but they missed a lot, like 30 years, for instance. I'll try to fill it in, which is why, I guess, the angel brought me back from the dead. And speaking of the angel, I'm about convinced that he's gone psycho. No, psycho isn't a word I had back in my time. But enough television, and I'll have a whole new vocabulary. It applies. I believe, for instance, that psycho was the perfect term for John the Baptist. More about him later. Raziel took me to a place where you wash clothes today. A laundromat. We were there all day. He wanted to make sure I knew how to wash clothes. I may not be the sharpest arrow in the quiver, but it's laundry, for Christ's sake. He quizzed me for an hour about sorting whites and colors. I may never get this story told if the angel keeps deciding to teach me life lessons. Tomorrow, miniature golf. I can only guess that Raziel is trying to prepare me to be an international spy. Bartholomew and his stench rode one camel while Joshua and I shared the other. We rode south to Jerusalem, then east over the Mount of Olives into Bethany, where we saw a yellow-haired man sitting under a fig tree. I had never seen a yellow-haired person in Israel, other than the angel. I pointed him out to Joshua, and we watched the blond man long enough to convince ourselves that he wasn't one of the heavenly host in disguise. Actually, we pretended to watch him. We were watching each other. Bartholomew said,
"Is there something wrong? You two seem nervous."
"It's just that blonde kid," I said, trying to look in the courtyards of the large houses as we passed. "Maggie lives here with her husband," Joshua said, looking at me, relieving no tension whatsoever.
"I knew that," said Bart. "He's a member of the Sanhedrin. High up, they say."
The Sanhedrin was a council of priests and Pharisees who made most of the decisions for the Jewish community, as far as the Romans would allow them anyway. Aside from the Herods and Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, they were the most powerful men in Israel. I was really hoping Jachin would die young. "They have no children," Joshua said. What Josh was saying was that it was strange that Jachin hadn't divorced Maggie for being barren. "My brother told me," I said. "We can't go see her." "I know," I said, although I wasn't sure why not. We finally found John in the desert north of Jericho, preaching on the bank of the Jordan River. His hair was as wild as ever, and now he had a beard that was just as out of control. He wore a rough tunic that was belted with a sash of unscraped camel skin. There was a crowd of perhaps 500 people there, standing in sun so hot that you had to check road signs to make sure you hadn't accidentally taken the turn off to hell. We couldn't tell what John was talking about from a distance, but as we got closer, we heard him say,
"No, I'm not the one. I'm just getting things ready. There's one that's coming after me, and I'm not qualified to carry his jock strap."
"What's a jock strap?" Joshua asked.
"It's an Essene thing," Bartholomew answered. "They wear them on their manhood very tightly to control their sinful urges."
Then John spotted us over the crowd. We were on camelback.
"There," said John, pointing. "You remember me telling you that one would come? Well, there he is, right there. I'm not kidding. That's him on the camel, on the left. Behold, the Lamb of God."
The crowd looked back at Josh and me, then laughed politely as if to say, "Oh, right, he just happened along right when you were talking about him? What, we don't know from a shill when we see one?" Joshua glanced nervously at me, then at Bart, then at me, then he grinned sheepishly, as one might expect from a lamb, at the crowd. Between gritted teeth, he asked,
"So am I supposed to give John my jockstrap or something?"
"Just wave and say, 'Go with God,'" Bart said.
"Waving here, waving there," Josh mumbled through a grin. "Go with God. Thank you very much. Go with God. Nice to see you. Waving, waving."
"Louder, Josh. We're the only ones who can hear you." Josh turned to us so the crowd couldn't see his face. "I didn't know I was going to need a jock strap. Nobody told me. Jeez, you guys." Thus did begin the ministry of Joshua Bar Joseph, Ish Nazareth, the Lamb of God. "So, who's the big guy?" John asked as we sat around the fire that evening. Night crawled across the desert sky like a black cat with phosphorus dandruff. Bartholomew rolled with his dogs down by the riverbank. "That's Bartholomew," Joshua said. "He's a cynic." "And the village idiot of Nazareth for over 30 years," I added. "He gave up his position to follow Joshua."
"He's a slut, and he's the first one baptized in the morning. He stinks. More locusts, Biff?"
"No, thanks. I'm full." I stared down at my bowl of roasted locusts and honey. You were supposed to dip the locusts in the honey for a sweet and nutritious treat. It was all John ate.
"So, this divine spark, all that time away, that's what you found?"
"It's the key to the kingdom, John," Josh said. "That's what I learned in the East, that I'm supposed to bring to our people, that God is in all of us. We are all brothers in the divine spark. I just don't know how to spread the word."
"Well, first, you can't call it the divine spark. The people won't understand it. This thing, it's in everyone? It's permanent? It's a part of God?"
"Not God the Creator, my Father. The part of God that's spirit."
"Holy Ghost," John said with a shrug. "Call it the Holy Ghost. People understand that a ghost is in you, and they understand that it goes on after you, and you'll just have to make them believe that it's God."
"That's perfect," Joshua said, smiling.
"So, this Holy Ghost," John said, biting a locust in half, "it's in every Jew, but Gentiles don't have it, right? I mean, what's the point after the kingdom comes?"
"I was getting to that," said Josh.